Are you living in God's will? Now, I know it's a pretty big question, and it's one that we don't often think about, but we should be. We should be thinking about whether or not we're fulfilling God's expectations. We should be thinking about whether or not we are doing what God created us for. Now, I know that there's so much ministry, there's so much that you can be involved in. You could be active stateside, you could be active around the world. A lot of times we think and we wrongly assume that to go to Africa, you would definitely need to know if God were in that. You would need confirmation of God's will moving abroad to fulfill the Great Commission in the regions beyond. But when we look at our life in America, serving in our local church, which I think is so needed, we need to make disciples to raise the next generation right there in the United States. But when we consider our involvement in the United States and in the American church, we just write it off that we don't really need to know God's will as much. It's not that big of a deal. By default, we're just Americans, and so we live in America, and that's where God has us. But is that where God has you? God has a plan for you, and if God has a plan for you, it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what continent you're on. You need to know what that plan is. You need to know what it is that God created you for so that you can be as effective as God meant for you to be, that you can be as active as you can, preaching the gospel and bringing more people to Him. And so are you living in God's will? Have you thought about it? Have you considered whether or not you're a missionary? It doesn't matter, but are you in God's will? Today, we're going to be talking about this and more. In today's podcast, I'm Damon Matichera. Let's talk missions. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I'm glad that you've tuned in once again as we continue this discussion around the Great Commission. More especially today, we're going to be following up with part two of Living with a Vision, the search for God's will. Now, I know God's will is a really big topic, and what God has for me might not be what God has for you, but it definitely requires us to evaluate our own life. It's going to require you to evaluate your life, the very foundation on which you are building everything. As you wonder and as you pray about whether you're fulfilling God's will, God's plan for which you were created. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, we looked at this scripture in our last episode in part one, and this is where we're beginning today. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. You see, God has a vision for what He wants us to do, and we need to have vision to understand that plan. We need to have vision to know the heart of God and to have His heart reflected in our own. When we don't, we end up just doing whatever whim we want to follow after. We end up doing just our own will, our own desires. And our own desires and our own heart can really get us into trouble. So be careful there. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We need to have vision. We need to be men and women of vision. I remember the first day that I bought these glasses and I put them on. And I remember thinking, you know, I don't really need glasses. My vision is not that bad, and I don't think they're going to really help me that much because I was living my whole life without anything. And I got along just fine. But I went there, I got tested, and you know, my prescription wasn't really that much, but I put them on and my whole world changed. Everything had such clarity. All the colors were so vibrant. And I was wondering, how did I go so long without having glasses? How did I go so long the way I used to be, looking at the world around me with less clarity, with less definition? It was like having a standard TV and going from standard to 4K. It was just such a big difference. Now, I can take my glasses off, and again, I can see just fine. I can get by. But really, do you just want to get by? When we're talking about spiritual vision and knowing the will of God, do you just want to settle for mediocrity? Do you just want to get by and live your life and exist and, you know, build a little something here or there? Or do you want to fulfill God's master plan, the plan that He designed just for you? Think of the joy, think of the fulfillment and the satisfaction that you can have knowing that you are doing everything for which you were meant to do. You see, having vision is about knowing God's will. Having vision is understanding that purpose and adopting it as your own, submitting to it. That's essentially what we're talking about. We're talking about submitting to God. Whenever we talk about God's will, the discovering God's will, searching for God's will, basically what we're saying is you have to submit to God's plan. You have to submit to what God wants you to do, to how He wants you to live, as He leads you and as He directs you. Now, we're not talking about, you know, having to go and pray for whether or not you should be out evangelizing, for example. You see, God has a general will for everyone. And something like evangelizing, going and sharing your faith, that is the same for everyone. You can look at me, I can look at you, we can tell each other we both need to be out sharing our faith. I could tell you, it is God's will, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it is 100% God's will for you to share your faith. And you could say, you can't tell me what God's will is for my life. Well, in this area, yes, I can. Because it's the same for me, it's the same for you, it's the same for every believer. Every child of God should be out there sharing their faith. And it's the same for discipleship. Every child of God should be making disciples. How do we know that? Because it's in the Bible. Because God told us. He already told us, go and make disciples. We don't need to pray about it. I don't need to have an all-night prayer meeting saying, Lord, would you have me to go and make disciples? Reveal your will to me and let me know whether or not I should be out there, you know, bringing people to you and nurturing them in your wisdom and your knowledge. No. That is not needed. It's the one thing you don't have to pray about, whether or not God wants you to make disciples or evangelize or go to church, because God has already revealed His will and He has told you and He has told me that we should be doing these things. Now, while God does have a general will, a general plan for all of His children, God does have a more detailed plan that He wants each and every one of us to meet. You see, while we all should be making disciples, and maybe you are making disciples where you live in America, well, God wants me to make disciples too. But God's plan for my life, where it differs, is He's called me to Africa. He's called me to serve in sub-Saharan Africa in the country of Zambia. And I know that's God's will for me. But does that mean that if you're a child of God, all of God's children need to come to Zambia? I mean, I would love that. I would not mind if we just put it out there. Hey, if you're a Christian, then you know the Bible says all Christians should come to Zambia. That's not exactly God's plan. Now, I am praying for more Christians to come to Zambia. I know the Carr family just made their announcement. They'll be joining Team Hope and coming to join us here in the work in Chapada, Zambia. We are thrilled about that. Such a beautiful family. I love them, and we can't wait. It's going to be a little while they're fundraising and while they're getting everything in order. Maybe if you or your church want to take them on for support, I know they're going to be busy doing that for the next while, and they would appreciate it. But at the very least, pray for them. But I would love if everyone came to Zambia, but that's not God's plan. It is God's plan for some people like me and for the Carr family and for others, but can we say that God's plan? No, we can't do that. But God does have a plan for you, and it's different than God's plan for me. But each of us need to make sure that we are fulfilling that plan, whatever it is, and wherever it's going to lead us. So there's a general plan, and then there's a more detailed plan, an individual plan, if you will, that we need to be sensitive to and we need to be mindful of. And remember what I said. Ultimately, I believe that living in God's will is about surrendering ourselves to Him and acknowledging that He knows what is best for us. When we don't submit to God, when we don't care to look for God's will, then we're basically saying that we don't trust God enough to find out which direction He wants us to go. But when we do exercise that trust and that faith that God does know best and that He is greater and He is stronger and He can take care of us and that we're going to follow Him wherever He leads, when we do that, we honor Him. When we do that, we glorify Him as Lord and Savior. And all of this, it brings blessing to our life. It brings purpose and a deeper relationship with Him. You're going to have so much more. Remember the glasses and how the glasses changed my life and I felt so much better? Well, you're going to feel so much better. You're going to have so much more meaning to your life. And this surrendered life is the path to really knowing what true contentment is all about, true fulfillment, true satisfaction, and really going after that abundant life that Jesus talks about in John chapter 10, verse 10. You know, some people, they say, and I hear this a lot, they say, well, you know, Brother Damon, I would rather be living in the bush of Africa in the center of God's will than staying back stateside. Out of the will of God. And they say, basically, you know, I would go, I would do it. But here's the thing. You know, these people that always talk about, I would rather be in the bush of Africa. Have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about coming to the bush of Africa? And more importantly, what are you doing right now in America while you're making such a statement about how you'd rather be in Africa, you know, in the will of God, in the most dangerous area of the world, than in America, you know, what we consider one of the safest places of the world, but, you know, out of the will of God and so on. Are you actively fulfilling God's will right now in America, let alone talking about potentially going to Africa? See, we could talk big, but at the end of the day, it's not our talk, but it's our walk. It's how we live. It's our actions that define us. And every child of God needs to be defined by searching after His will. Some people, they know God's will at a very young age, and others don't. You know, for me, I always grew up wanting to be involved in missions, foreign missions, and I had that desire, but it wasn't because I understood God's will at that time. I looked at the example of my father. He was going to be going into missions, and it was exciting, and it was an adventure, and I wanted that. And that became my desire. But I was 18 years old when we were having our first year in Zambia. And I was active in the ministry. And I remember during that first year in Africa, sitting down with Don Curran and Kevin Pesky. And Don Curran looked at me and he said, you know, to the younger Damon, he said, so what does God want you to do in your life? Have you thought about it yet? And I was a little taken back. And I was thinking, well, I'm in Africa. And he said, well, what's next? What is the next step? You know, have you prayed about God's will for you? And that question really kind of shook me up because I had not prayed about God's will for me. I was in Africa. I was serving. I was active. But I had not yet prayed about what God's plan was for me. And Kevin saw that I was a little, you know, flustered. And he said, well, don't worry about it, Damon. Just kind of reverse the question and ask him how he found God's will for his life. And so I did that. I was like, well, how do you know God's will is for you? But I really appreciate Don Curran asking me that question because it really started me going down that line of thinking, wondering, and searching for God's will for me. And that's what you need to do in your life. You need to be looking at what God wants you to do in your life. Now, with me, God would later confirm His will to me. I went through a whole series, and if you look at the last episode with that whole table example, I prayed about it. I got counsel. I talked about it. And at the end of the day, well, not that day, but at the end of it all, I really felt that God was leading me to stay in Zambia. And I knew and I had that confidence that that was God's will for me. But meanwhile, while I was searching for God's will, during that time period where I didn't really know what it was, I was just making myself available. That's important. We need to make ourselves available. They say that your greatest ability is your availability. How available are you to God's plan? How available are you to God's leading? If God were to direct you, would you follow? And these are things we have to consider because God wants to lead you. God wants to reveal himself to you, to guide you. We just need to be available. Just be available. Just go do something. Get involved. Search for God's will. Don't give up on that. If you're wondering what you should do and how you should move forward, but maybe you don't have all the answers, just be available. A lot of young people today, they're so distraught because they don't know where they fit. Listen, you don't need to know. You don't need to have all the answers today. I know that we want to figure out our whole life in the next 5 minutes, and we want to know every plan and every part of where we're going to be and how it's going to work. But it doesn't all have to be figured out right now. A lot of times, God's will is revealed in a very progressive way. You just have to be available. That's your greatest ability, is your availability. Your second greatest ability is your dependability. Once you have discovered God's will and you are doing it, well, be dependable. Be available. Be dependable. Just get involved. While you're searching, while you're praying, while you're finding what God wants you to do, just get involved in doing what you know is right. Living without any consideration for God's desires in your life really won't come without any consequences. There are always repercussions if we're going to ignore God's leading. If we're going to ignore God, well, that's going to affect us. It's going to affect my life. If God is leading me, if God is trying to draw me to a certain part of his will, but I'm fighting against that, that's going to change me a little bit. I'm going to become a little cold towards God and towards his leading. And the more I resist, the easier it's going to become to resist. The more I fight God, well, the easier it will always be to fight God. You know, the Bible talks about grieving the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And we often think about that as if that time when you're going to the altar and you're praying and you hear a message and you need to go forward. But it also could just be with doing what you know is right in your life. What is God doing in your life? How is he leading you? Are you sensitive to the Holy Spirit in your life? Often people look at God's will as some ambiguous, cloudy, unattainable thing. And so they just never try. They think it's just too much work. Oh, it's too much work for me to go through all of this to find out God's will. Why put so much effort into discovering someone else's will when it may come into conflict with my own? You know, it's easy to imagine how the road untaken can be daunting and intimidating. That road untaken is that path maybe in our life that we've never done before. We've never gone that way before. And that could be God's will. God's will. Maybe we've never tried it. Maybe we've never submitted to it before. And we don't know what's going to happen. It's the road untaken. It's not as worn as the other roads in our life. You know, we like taking roads that we've always traveled on. We look at a path, and when I'm in the bush of Africa, and I have a choice between, you know, okay, here's a path that's well-worn, and you could see the dirt because people have taken this road so many times. You know, that's a road that I would feel comfortable taking because a lot of people have taken it. And if a lot of people have done it, then it has to be a good road, right? That's what we think. And then the other road, maybe it's not as worn down. Maybe the grass is still there, but you can kind of see that it is a path. which road are you going to want to take? Well, you're going to want to take the road that's always taken, the one that everyone else walks on, the road that is safe, the road that is consistent, the road where you know for sure where it's going to go. But the road untaken, that's a totally different scenario because where is that road going to lead you? Is it going to cross any river or a body of water? Is the path clear? Are the bridges still there? And all of these thoughts are going through your mind. And that's the same way in which we approach God. Because we have roads in our life. We have pathways. And we always want to take the pathway that we're comfortable with. And that's usually the life that we're always living, the decisions, the activities that we're always participating in. And then God comes to us and says, hey, I want to direct you down this road, but this is a new road. And we look at this new path and we're like, but Lord, where are you going to lead me? I'm not familiar with this road. And we feel vulnerable. We feel a little vulnerable because there's an unknown element to following God on this road untaken. And we just want to go back to what we're used to. We want to go back to the familiar. We want to go back to the consistent. And we look at God's will sometimes and we're like, it's going back and forth. Should I follow God's will into the unknown or should I just do what I've always done? And often we choose to do what we always have done because we are creatures of habit. Now, a lot of times when we look at the road untaken, we envision Africa. Again, the road untaken, God's going to call me to Zambia. But the road untaken can represent the call to serve in your local church in America just as much as it can represent joining us here in Zambia. The road untaken, that unfamiliar road, that place of vulnerability, that could be you serving right where you are. That could be you getting involved in a greater way where you are right there in the United States of America. But we're creatures of habit, and we want to continue with what we have always done. And we say to ourselves, hey, why do I have to take the road untaken? Why can't we just use the same old road? Why ruin a good thing? Why fix what's not broken? I'm comfortable. My life is good. I'm going to church. Why change things up? And all God is trying to do is to draw you closer to Him. All God is trying to do is to bring you closer to Him to fulfill that plan for which you were meant to fulfill, that plan for which you were created. And it's daunting and a bit intimidating. But whatever happened to the attitude that led us to say at one point in our life, wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Do we have that attitude? Are we actually looking to God and saying, you lead, I'll follow? But often I think it's reverse. And we say, Lord, let me take this familiar path. I'll lead, you follow, we're all going to be happy. And it's going to be a great day. Yeah, we've persuaded ourselves that it's not a big deal. We say, it's really not that big of a deal. God doesn't really care what we do in our life, just as long as we're busy doing something. And I would say yes and no to that. But there are potential problems that can come into play when we say that God does not have an exact plan for your life, an individual plan just for you. Because then we become complacent. We'll just go and fulfill God's general will, but we don't actually anticipate that God would ask anything more of us. We don't anticipate that God would lead us down that unfamiliar path. We don't anticipate that God has a purpose for our life outside the norm. But God might have something really special for you. And one day, if you ever fulfill that plan, you're going to look back and you're going to say, man, why did I wait so long to get involved and to follow where God was leading? And you're going to have so much confidence. But when you forsake God's plan, when you just are content not to really search out and follow God's will, that's going to bring a couple of negative aspects to your life. And I don't really like to follow with all these negative things, but let me just list off a couple of ways in which we're going to suffer if we don't actively search out God's will. Number one, we're going to have spiritual stagnation. Without actively looking for God's will, you're going to experience a lack of growth and progress in your spiritual journey. You're not going to be growing as much as you should. In fact, you're going to stagnate. You're going to become complacent, and you're going to settle into your routine. That's going to really lack any sense of purpose and direction. You're just going to be traveling down that familiar path, doing the familiar things that everybody else does, and your life is never going to fulfill God's expectations. Don't spiritually stagnate, but move forward. You can trust God. You can trust Him. You can trust His Word. And when you do, you're going to grow. You're going to be moving forward. And it is going to be an adventure. Trust me. I'm living proof of that. But another way in which we're going to suffer, potentially, is we're going to feel a loss of connection. You're going to feel diminished. You're going to have this diminished sense of connection with God, like He's distant, like He's far away. So by neglecting to seek God's will, you can lose touch with your spiritual relationship, leading to feelings of distance and emptiness and even doubt. Because remember, when we fight against God, we're not submitting to Him. And the root of that is doubt. And we're going to be doubting Him. And anytime that unbelief comes in, it really hinders that connection with God. We're not going to grow. We're not going to move forward. We're going to give seed to doubt God, to unbelief in our life. And ultimately, it's going to lead to self-directed choices. Without actively seeking God's will, you're going to rely solely on your own judgment, on what you want, your own desires, and making decisions. And this can lead to a shift towards a more self-centered perspective, potentially resulting in choices that may not align with God's plan for your life, because we're just doing what's comfortable. We're doing what we feel we can handle. And have you ever heard that expression, you know, God will never lead me to do what I feel I'm unable to do? Well, that's not true. Because when we say that, well, God is never going to ask me to do something that I don't think I can do. Well, what do you feel you can do? And what if what you feel you can do is really not true? What if God knows what you're able to do? What if God knows more about how far you can go, about what your potential is? How often do we limit our potential because we feel like we can't do it? We feel like God's will is unattainable because we're not qualified, or we've fallen short of reaching that goal, and it's just not attainable. Well, now, who's limiting your potential now? I mean, it's you. You're limiting your own potential. And you're limiting God's plan in your life. You're limiting God in your life. You're saying to God, hey, yeah, I know you want me to do this. And maybe you're leading me down this way, but I don't feel like I can do it. And so because I feel like I cannot do this, I'm not going to do it. Where is that going to lead you? This mentality, it develops an attitude that says, let me just live my faith and see where it takes me. Let me just do my thing and I will just go where I end up, you know, and we'll see where that is. But is that really any way to live? Is that any way to live that victorious Christian life, that abundant life? Is that what God meant, where you can just live and exist? This creates a form of Christianity with no intentionality. When we are just living and we're going to see where the day takes us. We're going to see where our faith takes us. There's no intentionality to it. There's no purpose. There's no plan. What about God's plan? What about God's purpose? You see, when we know that purpose, we can be intentional. We can be intentional with living the life that He has for us to live. Living by faith becomes casual. It becomes a casual endeavor instead of a deliberate choice. Is your Christianity a casual form of Christianity? Or is it a deliberate choice? Are you saying, I am a Christian and I'm not ashamed of my faith, and I'm not ashamed to call Jesus my Lord, and I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to follow Him no matter what. And that is what I'm choosing to do. The Bible teaches that God has gifted His children with different talents and abilities so that we can go out and do His work and perform His will. He hasn't left us empty-handed, but rather we are equipped and empowered to go out with confidence, knowing that He is with us, and that we don't need to be afraid, and that we don't need to be awkward wondering how are we to accomplish His will in our life. He's given us the tools. The only thing remaining is to trust Him. The only thing remaining is to acknowledge that God knows best, and that I am going to submit to God's will. I'm going to submit to God's plan for my life. And whatever talents I have, whatever abilities, if God has gifted me in any ways, I am going to use those gifts. I'm going to use those talents for His glory, because I want my life to count. I want my life to mean something in the light of eternity. And so while we are moving forward with this topic, I think we'll probably wrap it up next week. This is an area in which we all can take another step forward in. We can grow and we can learn more about the plan that God has for our life. But don't give up. If you're still searching for that plan, for God's will for your life, don't give up. Just keep on doing what you know is right. Keep on serving. Remember, your greatest ability is your availability. And your second greatest ability is your dependability. Be available and be dependable. So again, thank you for tuning in. We're going to continue this topic next week. I think we'll probably wrap it up then. But until then, check out our website at hopezambia.com. We would love for you to learn more about who we are, what we're doing. We've been here for 23 years in Zambia, Africa. Why? Well, go on our website. We have a mission. We have a goal that we're trying to accomplish. We're raising disciples, planting churches, and we want you to get involved. We can't do what we do here without people like you who are coming to visit, who are actively helping us, who are financially partnering with the work. All of this is needful as we move forward with the Great Commission abroad here in Zambia, Africa. If you have any questions, we would love to receive those. You can text message us or call us at 585-333-9586. So again, we really appreciate you tuning in. Thanks again. Be sure to check out weekly for different episodes as they air. But until then, you've been listening to the Let's Talk Missions podcast. My name is Damon Matachero. So take care and God bless.